Sunday, September 6, 2018. I'm looking at an article, August 31st, 2018, from the California Family Council by Greg Burke. It appears that Assemblyman Lowe has decided to pull AB 2943, which would have limited faith-based support to homosexuals and transgenders by the faith-based community. They had said that it was giving AB 2943 was given a lot of support from the Assembly and the Senate. This Assemblyman Lowe decided to repeal the AB 2943 because he got a lot of faith-based community people sharing their testimonies who, you know, were converted from being homosexuals and have their own ministries. He received a lot of attention from the faith-based community to say, you know, please don't do this. So because he wanted to protect our constitutional freedoms, he decided to repeal his AB 2943, and he also indicated that it was despite all of the support from the Assembly and Senate. And what I wanted to just chime into is that this bill received so much support. It's one thing, I really don't feel that the Constitution is being protected at all anymore. And the fact that they would all support this, okay, is very alarming. It's truly alarming to me that it would have even received support at all. It's one thing if you want to create laws that are anti-harassment and anti-hate laws so that people can believe what they want to believe and feel comfortable within their communities and be free of harassment and hate. Now, that would be something that I would want this state to start, you know, writing legislation on. The Bible, however, should have never even came up. It should never have even been a topic of conversation. Now, if you want to do anti-hate and harassment, then focus on that. Because if someone's running around with a Bible and they are chasing somebody down and harassing them for being different or for not believing as we believe or as they believe, then they should be fined or even arrested for hate and harassment. Because if we check the Bible, that's not in the Bible. It doesn't say to go running after, it says love your neighbor. It doesn't say go running after your neighbor and harassing them for not believing as you believe. Now, if they want to do that, focus on anti-harassment and anti-hate laws. But the Bible should never have even been a subject of discussion. And the fact that it gained so much support is truly alarming. I also wanted to say that, you know, they've pushed out God out of our public schools. They've pushed out God. We don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore to our kids because some atheist stepped in and said, we don't like, you know, you saying God in public schools. Okay? We don't like that. We want that to leave. So now public schools don't even let children say the word God. Okay? Now, you know, a child can't go into school and bring a Bible in their backpack and read the Bible on, you know, during lunch break. It is not allowed. It has been pushed out to appease the atheist community. I was looking even further to articles from April of this year regarding this bill, this AB 2943, and one article that I found said, contemporary science recognizes that being gay, bisexual, or transgender is part of the natural spectrum of human identity and not a disease, disorder, or illness, okay? And that is fine. That is great. That is the scientific atheist opinion of something, and we can respect that, and so can, you know, if you're a homosexual, you can respect that and be atheist and believe that. That's perfectly fine. But if you are a homosexual who God has put his hand upon and God is calling you and wants you, you know, to come to him and wants, you know, put his hand on you, and you are wanting to develop a relationship and you're wanting to see about this, because the Bible, it's more like a spiritual affliction. In the Bible, it's a spiritual affliction. And it's interesting to me that homosexuality has gotten so much you know, it's frowned on so much. When I see homosexuality like any other spiritual affliction, we're all sinners and we all have afflictions. You know, pride and arrogance, ego, that's an affliction, okay? Addiction, any kind of addiction, that's a spiritual affliction. Hate, jealousy, envy, lust, overindulgence, overeating, slothfulness, all of these things are spiritual afflictions. But for some reason, the homosexual gets a little bit more attention than any of the other afflictions. You got people running around who are over self-righteous. That's an affliction. You know, when you think that you're perfect, that's an affliction. You know, vanity, that's an affliction. We all have a spiritual affliction. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. That means that we're supposed to work on these spiritual afflictions. And the fact remains is that really deep down, even in the scripture, Jesus says in the scripture that the most out of all the commandments, the most important, Jesus says, is to love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if there are people running after people, okay, that's one thing. If there's people with Bibles chasing down a homosexual person and harassing them and hating them, that is not biblically supported. That is not okay. And if you focused on laws that support, that protect people from hate and that protect people from harassment of their beliefs, that should be the focus in California and in the other states. That should be where it was. The Bible should never come up. The Bible is our right to believe, and they have never disproved the Bible. They have never disproved God. It is your opinion that it's not an affliction. It is your opinion that it's not a sickness. It is your opinion that doesn't mean that you've disproved God. You have not disproved God. And all the science, you still have not. There's so much research. You have still not disproved God. And truly, the facts is very alarming to me that this bill gained so much attention and support. That you're infringing on our Constitution. You've already taken God out of the public schools. I decided, I was praying, and I was praying for a strategy, and something came in my mind, and I said, I want to write a Christian children's book. I want to do it. So I started doing it. I finished it, and I was writing my query letter, and I was thinking about, you know, the market for this book. It's for, you know, children between the ages of 3 to 6 year olds. I want it to be at the early ages when children are the most impressionable. I want, you know, and I was, you know, writing my letter. It's for anti-bullying, because I feel like if we start teaching kids about how to treat each other, you know, in early years, nationally, our bullying is getting worse and worse. In California, kids are going from, you know, public school systems to virtual academies now. That's a common theme. You know, we're seeing, you know, media and news reports of violence, more and more violence in public schools. And so I really think a focus needs to be on the development years, that the early years, really sending the anti-bullying message in as many ways as possible, how to talk to each other, how to treat each other. And so I wrote a book. And while I was writing the book, I was, you know, I got biblical scriptures to support what I was writing about, you know, the reason why I created the book the way that I created it. It's, you know, less than 1,000 words. It's a child's book. And I created, you know, why the biblical scriptures behind it. And then something came to my mind and I said, you know what? I don't want to put God or the biblical verses in this book. And the reason for that is not because I'm ashamed of the gospel. I believe that there's also books that I want to write for you know, Christian preschools and for, you know, the Christian community, and I want Jesus and I want biblical verses all in them. But the thing is that I see the enemy having this block. He has created the block, right? And the block is, you can't bring a Bible or biblical related materials into the public school system. He has created this block. And so strategically in my mind, and I prayed on this, how do we get around this block? We get around this block by the community creating two different sources of materials. You create the materials for the Christian-based community, which Jesus is in it and God's in it. But we also, I think, as a community, we need to go around this block and we need to create Christ-centered behaviors and ways of thinking in books with no biblical scripture involved. The word God is not included. We are selling the biblical behaviors, but without any of the scripture and without any reference to God. Because if we do that, we can get around the enemy's blockage. We can get these books into the public school systems, and where they're trying to negate God altogether, we can send God back in by teaching his ways and behaviors that are Christ-centered and Christ-focused. And so I also want to appeal to every race, because you know it's different when you're just, you know, I don't think a little black girl can, you know, with, you know, all these like white Barbie looking, you know, books, you know, all over the place, is going to relate the same way as if it's, you know, a black family or a Latino family, a Hispanic family, or, you know, an Indian family or an Asian family. I think that we need to really, really work towards trying to use, you know, colored, rainbow colored, you know, people or whatever we need to do so that the books really reach children of all races and really help change, you know, the bullying in the school systems. So I started doing that, and I was thinking about this because I don't watch TV. I have a TV, but I don't watch cable. I mean, I'll watch a Netflix documentary, and then that's about it. I watch YouTube videos, but I don't watch cable TV, and I don't listen to the radio. So for the past 3 years, I haven't listened to the radio. And but when I go over to my sister's, I have two very young nieces that I spend a lot of time with, and they're 3 and 5. And I was at their house and I watch what they watch on TV. And I noticed, you know, that I think that Walt Disney really, really does a good job of trying to, you know, reach out from one race to another race. You know, they'll have, you know, a movie with a black family, they'll have a movie with, you know, a white family, they'll have a movie with, you know, some Hawaiian girl or whatever. They really try to reach, you know, different children on different levels. But the one thing that I was noticing is that almost every movie that my nieces show has sorcery, has magic, has everything that the Bible is against, and it's incorporated in these movies. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm super religious and I'd be like, I'm not watching Cinderella with you because there is a godmother and she's a fairy princess or whatever. I'm not saying that I'm super religious to where I wouldn't watch Cinderella. What I'm saying is that if these are the most impressionable years of youth and we're selling constant, consistent magic and sorcery and all of the things the Bible is against, I think that we need to recognize that. Because in the same way they are pushing God out of public schools, are you going to say that if it's, you know, the Friday of the last day of school and a second grade class can't bring in a Disney movie and the Disney movie is okay, that's, you know, got the sorcery and the witchcraft and all that stuff in it, but we can't bring in God and a kid can't bring, you know, a little Bible color book to school because it's God, you know, do you see how this is working out? You know, I haven't watched any Disney movies lately, so I don't know if they've done a Christ-centered one lately. I know they really try to, like, you know, to switch their materials up, and maybe we'll see, you know, more of a Christ-focused type movie. Because I see, you know, a lot of different religions, and I see, you know, Indian spiritual stuff. I see all sorts of stuff, but I haven't really seen any Christ-focused stuff. But what I'm saying is that we're seeing this door is open to everything that the Bible is not okay with. But if a child shows up to school with a Bible in their backpack and they want to read it on, you know, their little lunch break, they can't do that. That is unacceptable. We are coming into a place where the public schools don't even allow the word God to show up, but we can bring in, you know, all of the stuff that the Bible is against. I think that is upsetting. Another thing that's alarming to me is that this is all based on what science says and what that atheist community says. And that does not negate that God is not real. That does not negate that God is not true. You know, I mean, we could get into this. But I think that when it comes down to the fact that they are even considering our constitutional protections and that it is gaining that much support, and you're not focusing on just anti-hate and anti-harassment laws, I think that that's alarming. And I think that we should look through that and past that. And I just wanted to say to, you know, people out there, I think that one of the strategies that we need to do is we need to start creating these books that don't have, I mean, we need to do both. The Christian community needs to come up with, you know, the ones for the Christian preschools and for, you know, the Sunday schools and all of that. You know, Jesus needs to be there. But I'm saying we need to get around this curb of how they're blocking God in public schools, and we need to create books that are Christ-centered behaviors that negate all the biblical verses, and that we need to take those words out because we need to send the message, and they're blocking that message from the public school system. And I think that was the only thing that I had to say. Again, I think that, you know, as we look at leadership, we could pray for leadership. I've been praying for leadership constantly. I've been praying for leadership in this nation. I've been praying that, you know, they do a work on the hearts of, you know, our leaders and our kings to really, really to resist the agenda of the enemy. I'm really praying that, you know, that the bounds of corruption be broken off of our people. I'm praying for that. I think it's in Romans 8:21 when they talk about the bounds of corruption being broken off of God's people, and that they step into the liberty of the children, the sons of God. I'm really praying for that. Because what you can see for this is, you know, it's kind of like a red flag of what is to come. They are already gaining support on trying to take, you know, any type of strategy to take the Bible out. And this should never have come up. They could have easily created anti-harassment and anti-hate laws. They did not have to bring the Bible into it. You cannot, you know, say that because science and atheists say this, that it discredits the Bible. And regardless of that we don't have the right to believe as we want. We should all be able to believe as we want. We should all be respected in our beliefs, and we should be kind to one another and respect our rights to believe whatever we want. And we should not be taking out, you know, our rights and our abilities to love God, to worship God. And when we see that, and we see things that God stands against being okay and accepted, you know, you don't run downtown San Francisco to, you know, places where, you know, they're doing things that aren't, you know, of God. Like, you know, they have, you know, men that dress up with women, like women and all that stuff. You don't see people trying to say that's against God, we need it out of here. It's your right to believe. It's your right to have your beliefs and be who you are. And we as a society need to just respect each other and our rights to believe, and not hate each other and not harass each other. And we need to have laws that protect people, because just because you're running around with a Bible doesn't, and you're chasing somebody down, it doesn't mean that you're doing a biblical act. It doesn't mean that what you're doing by hating somebody and harassing somebody is of God. And if we have laws in place against harassment and against hate, then that's one thing. But if you're going to come in and step in and say science and atheists believe that this isn't true, so we're going to take it out, that's not okay. And I'm also been not only praying for our leadership, but also you know, praying that, you know, we should be really paying attention. I'm so happy that the faith community just went and people shared their testimonies and they were able to get this repealed. I'm really, really so excited about that. And I also wanted to say that, you know, aside from praying for, you know, God, because Jesus says he has the hands of every leader, every politician, every king in his hand. So aside from praying for our leadership, whether we wholeheartedly like our leadership or not, God has a will and a purpose, and he picked that person on purpose for his will. And also, you know, because we're supposed to suffer. Christians are called to suffer. We're supposed to share in Christ's suffering. So somebody has to play Judas in some type of situations. Like, that's part of this process. I've also been praying for seasons to change on leadership that is abusing their power. And I pray that people who, you know, fear God are put into power instead, because people who fear God will do the right thing. They will not, you know, if you fear God, you're not going to go and try to hate, you know, innocent people and chase after innocent people and try to do things that benefit, you know, greed. If you fear God, you're going to make the right choices in leadership. So aside from praying that, you know, God's will be made manifested, but also praying for our leaders that God does a work on their hearts so that they resist the agendas of Satan. And then also on top of that, I pray that we pay attention to those who do want to take our constitutional rights and freedoms. Like, flash a big flashlight on those who are raising their hands and are supporting, trying to dip a toe in that kind of a subject, and trying to support taking our constitutions away. We need to shine a big headlight on those people and pray that seasons change on leadership that is trying to take away our rights in our constitution, because that is not what I think that this country needs. And I don't think that anybody, you know, who's paying taxes thinks that's okay either. So I just pray for our leaders. I pray God does a work on our hearts of our leaders, that they resist the agendas of Satan. I also pray that God makes seasons change on leadership and those who abuse their power and hurt the powerless, the weak, and the poor. I pray for that, and I pray that I humble myself before God and on a continual basis, and I pray that He heals our land, and I pray that He breaks the bounds of corruption off of our people, off of His children, that they may step into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And I pray against this greed, this darkness that is plaguing this nation and this world. I pray against greed, where greed has become more important than human life. I pray against it, and I'm just so happy at the level of support that the faith community stood up to this, and that, you know, it was repealed. But again, I really think this is a red flag. It is something that we need to really focus on, and I think that we need to, I'm going to continue to pray it out. Seasons change on those who want to take our constitutional rights and our freedom. It is alarming, and it is something that I'm going to continue to pray on, and continue to pray that God does a work on the hearts of our leaders in this nation. And I just wanted to share that. I think faith without works is dead, and I'm just going to try, you know, to do what I can and get involved in any way that I can. But I'm praying for you. I'm praying for this nation, and I'm really glad that this was repealed.